Well, good morning. We pray that the Spirit of the Lord will meet with us here and meet us out a blessing and inspire our souls to live for Him deeper and better ways. Wrote on the board, the breath of life. I've just been meditating on this some, and I'd like the Lord to inspire it this morning. The Lord's able to do that, you know. I want to start in Genesis, the second chapter, the seventh verse. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." You know, the man was there. He was complete, but there was something really big that hadn't happened yet. He didn't have life. And the Lord, it says, He breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. You know, there's something wonderful about life, isn't there? And you know, how can you describe life? How would you describe life? How would you describe somebody that doesn't have life? You know, when somebody is dying and they're taking their pulse and they say, well, there's no pulse, then there's no life, is there? If there's no pulse, there's no life anymore. And that's a tragic time in people's lives in that sense, isn't it? But the Lord breathed into man the breath of life, and he became something. I want to read a little story over here in Ezekiel 37 and 1. And here's another place the Lord gave life. And he says here, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me," the Lord said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, thou knowest." You know, when you see bones, can they live? Only the Lord. Only the Lord knows, doesn't he? Only he can give life to those bones. But he can he? I don't know what happened to this great army here. That the, you know, was there a great battle and there was a 50,000 people or 20,000 people dead in this valley, and they died and laid there, and I don't know what happened to them. But the valley was full of bones. You know, this morning there's a lot of spiritual death too, isn't there? And sometimes you think, Lord, I know you can make those bones live. Those fragments of what used to be, I know you can make those bones live. There's a big difference between life and death, isn't there? We've talked about this at times here. And I want us to think about it this morning. Folks, there's something that God spoke into Adam's life that changed everything. He had everything there. He was a total man. He was totally made. But he had one thing lacking. And the Lord breathed in him the breath of life. And he became something else, didn't he? He had a mind. He had affections. He had thoughts. He had the ability to do things. He could work. He could hunt. He could eat. He could run. All kinds of things that Adam could do when the Lord breathed into him the breath of life. And so I want us to think this morning a little bit about this whole idea. Here was Ezekiel, and here was this great valley full of dry bones. And as we said, the Lord asked him, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You preach to them. Preach to these dry bones, Ezekiel. And you tell them, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Wow. What hope was for those bones now? Because the word of the Lord said, you prophesy to them. You preach to them, Ezekiel, and you tell them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, because, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. What a miraculous thing. He didn't just tell the bones to live. He said, I'm going to put sinews and skin, and he was going to put all the things, the muscles and the organs and all of those things were suddenly going to come along with these dry bones, because the word of the Lord prophesied to these dry bones and said, you're going to live. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to know that he wants us to live. How do we know somebody's alive? Well, it's really pretty easy. Of course, the pulse test is maybe the ultimate. But that's just to say whether somebody's... that's usually whether they're on the brink or not. But you know what? Life is full, isn't it? The Lord has life, and he has it more abundantly. I want to read that scripture in a few minutes. That's what Jesus Christ came to bring. He came to bring life. So many times I really believe we get stuck on the bones and the skin. And we get stuck trying to sort through all these things. And the Lord says, I want to breathe life into these bones. I want to breathe something. You know, I know this is a little different thought, but I've always thought of doctrine as bones. It's kind of like the bones. You have to have the structure or you can't stand up. There's some things you have to that have to be in place in order for you to be able to stand and reach and all of that. Muscle's not enough. A big old blob of muscle on the floor might be able to do some things, but it's not going to be able to do what a body that has the bones, the muscles, the organs, and everything. Not going to be able to do it, is it? And so we can't say one thing's not important. You know, you don't need skin. Well, actually, you do. We all know that, don't we? You don't need bones. You don't need those things. Folks, we need all the things God made for us to have, especially the breath of life in our souls. And so I prophesied, verse 7, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And you know, I think many times it's not all bad. John the Baptist said, bring forth works meet for repentance, didn't he? There's some things that when the Lord starts talking to our hearts, we need to do. But I will tell you, it's critical. It's critical to obey the voice of the Lord as he begins to deal with us. And he began to deal with these bones. And he said, you prophesy to these bones. They're going to live. And sinews came on them and skin and all these things. But there wasn't any breath in them yet. And you know, then it says, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. You know, this morning, that's what we're preaching this morning. We're preaching that the Lord has life. He has breath. He wants to come into our life. And He wants to bring whatever forms that maybe we've begun to do and move toward the Lord or whatever. He wants to breathe in that. And He wants to breathe until we become living on the inside. The inner man becomes alive. And folks, everything changes dramatically at that point, doesn't it? So I just want to share these little thoughts this morning. Because I know in my life how I tried to live right, tried to do things, and yet miserably did not always do right. But when I started coming around, actually when I started coming around these people, I was 18 years old, and I began to hear the word of the Lord, and I began to see the breath of life in people's lives. And you know what? I began to long for that. And it changed my life. As I began to long for what I saw, the Lord began to work in here. And He breathed into my life a great breath of life. And I lived. I thank the Lord for that this morning. It changed my life so completely. All of a sudden, things changed. My life changed. And I know mine was a little different than some. But the Lord breathed into me a breath of life. And I want to encourage us this morning. God has for us a breath of life that will make us live. And all other things than that is something like bones, sinews, skin, trying to make things happen. And it can't happen. Folks, the breath of life has to come from God. I want to read to you what the Lord told over here in John 3. Nicodemus came to the Lord, and he was talking to Him. Nicodemus could see there was something about the Lord that was real. And Jesus, it says, answered unto him, answered and said unto him, verily, verily, surely, surely, I say unto thee, excuse me, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Do you know that we can't just start doing right and enter into the kingdom of God? Now, there might be some things come on our bones. There might be some good things happening. But I want to tell you, the Lord wants to give in our souls the breath of life from God. Let's don't undercut that or cut it short. Let's don't live our lives on bones, with bones instead of with life and all the things that come with it. And so he told Nicodemus here, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. We know that. We know these little babies are born. They're beautiful, aren't they? They're amazing little things. God has them. And he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You know, there's an aliveness and a Spirit of the Lord in our lives. And I know that there's a birth, and then the Lord wants to enter our lives in a whole new way. Later, He wants to infill our lives with His very Spirit. After we are born and we are alive and we are looking to Him for, Lord, a more greater fullness. The Lord wants to enter into our hearts in His Spirit and live in us. God wants to do that. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Isn't that beautiful this morning? The wind blows where it will. And you see the trees and you see them moving. And sometimes you'll see trees. You go out in Texas and you'll see trees all from the south. They're just moved toward the north. They're just blown over kind of. And they're bent because so much wind constantly is upon them. There's something very powerful in that, isn't there? And you know what? He said, that's the way everybody that's born of the Spirit is. That's the way everybody that's born by the Spirit of God. They're born in that way. And they have life in them. And it's very, very different than a form of godliness without the life. John 10 and 10, I love this scripture. Jesus said to these people, he said, well, I'll start in 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Do you know that we have to enter in through Jesus Christ? We can't be saved by deciding, I think I'll start doing good things. Now, that might put us on a road to where the Lord sees there's an honest heart that's really seeking me. But it's not okay to be just any religion. No, we're not all going to the same place. Folks, we have to be born by the Spirit of the Lord through Jesus. And he says here, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. I want to say to that, I know the scripture tells us that those that don't know anything of God is judged differently than we are. And I don't know how God does that. I leave that to him. He's pretty wise. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, folks, we're well aware of thieves, aren't we? I've known people that have had things just cleaned out. And, you know, I remember my dad crying like a baby one day. And my dad was a strong man. But he came in the house and he had had a heart attack. And he was unable to pick up his tools one night. He was so tired. He said, I can't pick them up this one night. One night he left them on the job. That night, a thief came in and took everything he had. His pencils, his step stools that he had built out of wood, his tools, his air hoses, his cords, everything. Just cleaned him out. Do you know that's what the devil does to people? He cleans them out. He takes every good thing they've got and leaves them with nothing but bones. Nothing but a semblance of what should be and could be. And you know, he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's what Jesus Christ came to bring to us. He came to bring eternal life in our souls. And he came to bring it not just in a little measure where we can barely think we're saved. He came to bring life more abundantly. He came that his Spirit might enter into us and it flow out of our bellies as a river. That's what Jesus came to bring. He came to send the Spirit of God that our life would be enlivened and changed and different. And old Peter there, trying to do the will of the Lord, he needed a little more power, didn't he? Oh, I believe he was saved. And then he falls down and says he don't know the Lord and curses and swears and all of those things. But I will tell you, in a few days, the Lord, he repented of that. The Lord filled him with the Spirit. And you know what? He spent the rest of his life preaching to people that persecuted him in the face of it. He got right back up to those very people. And he preached to them with such power and conviction until 3,000 were saved that day. The first day he started preaching like that. Filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, the Lord wants to do something in our lives, folks, that's very life-changing. And we should not stop seeking for it until we find it. I will tell you, when I saw what the saints had that I didn't have, I began to seek God. And the Lord met me. He met me one night in prayer. I was in my room, and I'm telling you something. I believe I was saved at the time, but I want to tell you something. God's Spirit filled my soul and changed my life with power. And I don't have anything to boast of except that the Spirit of God did something wonderful and lives there. That's what I have to boast in, the Spirit of God. You know, His Spirit wants to do the same thing for all of us today. And I want to encourage us to not get by on bones. Not get by living with just bones. You know, when we have life from God, He told Ezekiel, you prophesy, preach to these bones. They became a new creature, didn't they? You know what the scripture tells us? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I want to encourage us this morning that God has new things, powerful things, wonderful things for every one of us. It's not something I can give you. It's not something that anyone can give you, but it's something God can give to us. And I want to encourage us to seek God for it until He gives us the full measure. The Lord wants to give us life in our souls, and then He wants to enliven us. He wants to go on and fill our lives, our bodies, our hearts with His Spirit until we're different, very, very different. You know, I know people search for the knowledge of what is right and wrong. When you start talking to people about the Lord, immediately they want to start talking about, well, what's right, what's wrong, what do you believe, what I believe. Listen, folks, let's search for the God of the right and wrong. And when He fills our life, I want to tell you something, our searching will be over. We'll search, but it'll be in a different way. God wants to do that in our hearts and lives today. It comes many times from the Lord beginning to touch our lives. And He says, come closer to me. Come to me. And we start that journey, don't we? And we begin to seek the Lord. And He begins to come into our life in ways. First, He saves us. Makes us a new creature. Gives us life in the soul. Oh, this morning, let's let the Lord do those things. Let's seek not altogether the right and wrong. Yes, we want to know. But what we really want is the God of the right and wrong. We want the God of the right and wrong. Listen to what Paul told these people in Acts. Acts 17 and 24. This is a neat little story here. And he was preaching to them. Then Paul, verse 22, we'll start there. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. We know you're out there. We just don't know you. So here's our altar to you. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. I want to tell you about this one that you know is there, but you don't know him. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Don't go looking for it in the finery. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. You know, Paul told them here, he said, I want to tell you about this God. He said, he don't dwell in temples made with hands. He's not in the forms of men. But he said that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, as if they're in blindness. Wasn't Paul the apostle in blindness, though he saw? He was walking on the road to Damascus, and he was going there to imprison the saints. He was going there to imprison them because they believed on Jesus and take their lives, some of them. That's what he was doing. He could see, but he was blind. And it says, if haply they might feel after him and find him. You know, Paul was wanting to do God's will. And the scriptures tell us that's why he had mercy on him, because he had a heart seeking after God and doing God's will. But I will tell you, the Lord struck Paul down, didn't he? And Paul got salvation. And he became filled with the Spirit. And his whole life changed. All this morning, if haply they might feel after him. I looked up that word, haply. It sounds to me like it's more like doubtless it will happen. Now, I know one of the commentaries said perhaps. But when you look up the two words that make up haply, doubtless it'll happen. He says, when we feel after him, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Did you know Paul preached that to these heathens? He said he's not far from every one of us. Did you know that this morning? He's not far from all of us. I don't know where we're all at this morning. I know some of us know the Lord. Some of us may not. And I want to tell you, feel after the Lord. Put your feelers out. Lord, Paul said, who are you, Lord? Lord started talking to him, who are you? I'm Jesus. That's who I am. I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. You don't like me. You've been trying to do all these things. I'm Jesus. You know, this morning, the Lord wants to reveal himself to us. If we feel after him, if we look for him, more than what's right and wrong, we look for the Lord. Because you see, he'll take care of all the rest of that. He wants us to know him. Then he will begin to teach us. How is it that Paul got up and before long he was preaching the very gospel that he was trying to tear down? He was preaching just like the preachers preached to him or to those around him. And he was preaching with authority and power. People were saved. It was effectual because God changed his life. I want to tell you something. I would have never dreamed the Lord would work in different ways in our life. I was just a teenager. I never thought of anything. I just had my business plans and all of those things. But I want to tell you, God had some other things in mind, and he may have some other things in mind for you. Just may. We just don't know what God has in mind, do we? But let's let him live. Let's let him make us a living, converted, born life in God. The Lord wants to do that. And how do we know that? Same way we know there's wind. How we know there's wind? Take a look. See what happens. That's what God wants to do in our lives. Let's don't quit until we search for him. I think it was in Pilgrim's Progress. Where didn't he put his fingers in his ears and cry, eternal life, eternal life? Folks, that's what it takes sometimes to find the Lord. We have to put our fingers in our ears from all that Satan would try to keep us from God. Cry eternal life until we know that the Lord lives in our lives. Until we know that we are alive in Christ. The Lord wants to give that to every one of us. The law was our schoolmaster. It wasn't wrong, the scripture says. Of course, some of it was just all these things, these ordinances and on. But it told us that there was some wrongs and rights, didn't it? It wasn't bad. But it led us to Christ, didn't it? Because our sins convicted us. That's what the law does. And then the Lord puts His law in our hearts. And we do it not because it's convicting us that we're doing wrong, but because it's God's voice in our lives. Oh, how God wants to be real. How He wants to put sinews. How He wants to put muscles. Organs with those bones and skin and then life. That's what God wants to do. Let's don't quit, folks, until we know that we are alive in Christ. And we'll know that. We'll know that. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. The Lord wants us to feel after Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. He wants to dwell in us. And be the very essence of our life. When people say your name, there should be a connotation there. They are a Christian. They have life in their soul. Isn't that okay? Shouldn't there be a connotation there? There should. They have life. They have eternal life. I want to mention just a few people here before we quit. You remember Enoch? This is Genesis 5 and 24 if you want to look it up. It says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Do you know that Enoch's son lived right up to the time of the flood? Do you know that Enoch lived in a wicked time? See, the flood was brewing. God was getting His fill of people's wickedness. Because, see, there's something that God says to us in our hearts that wickedness is wrong. And so God was getting His fill of that. But there was a man named Enoch, and it says he walked with God. How is this? In the midst of all these wicked people, he listened to God. Folks, there's always been a few people that would hear the voice of God. You know, Noah was a man that heard the voice of God. The Lord spoke to Noah. Noah was living to everything Noah knew to live to. And the Lord spoke to him, build me an ark. And this is exactly the way I want it built. And then I want you to take two of every creature. And then there was the clean and unclean and all of that. Some of more than two of some. You know, the Lord talked to Noah, didn't He? And He walked with these men. And it says, God took Enoch. He just took him home. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what He did. Elijah, he just went up in a chariot of fire, didn't he? And he went up to meet the Lord. He was close to God. Folks, I know we may not all feel like we're an Enoch or something, but I want to just whet our desire for it all. The Lord wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to know Him. And why should we not? The blessings are in knowing God. What good thing is there in the world besides something that God approves of? And what bad thing is in God? Oh, this morning I want to encourage us, folks. The Lord wants to be in our lives, living life. That means we get hungry. That means we thirst for the things of God sometimes. I know we hear a lot of preaching and we do a lot and go to, and sometimes maybe we can feel, I just need some space. But it isn't long till we're not full anymore. We just need some more, don't we? I know the scripture talks about we'll never thirst again. And that has its meaning. But folks, the Lord wants our lives to thirst for God. He wants our hearts to say, Lord, I need you to meet me again. You know, it's been a week since I've just really felt your presence. You know, yeah, I went through worship and all that, but Lord, I need you to speak to me. I need you to be real to me again. I need to know that you're walking with me. Is that all right this morning? You remember old Daniel? You remember him when they told him, don't you ask anything of anybody, not a god or anybody, again for 30 days. And what did Daniel do? I think Daniel had something in here that he was like, there's no way I'm not going to feed my soul. There's no way I'm not going to take some time out for God. There's no way. You know why? Because there was a thirst there. There was life. There was life there. And so this morning I want to encourage us, folks. God wants to give us eternal life in our soul and make our heart to thirst for Him. And so they came to Daniel. You know, well, Daniel wasn't moved by that at all. Throw me in the lion's den. There's no way I'm going to give up God. You know what? When Daniel was seeking the Lord one time, and I love these kind of stories. They're some of my favorites, and there's a lot of favorites, I guess, but these are some really favorites here. Daniel 10:10, and behold, a hand touched me. He was out seeking the Lord. Daniel was out looking, Lord, I want you to speak to me. I want you, you know, I don't know what all, but he was out seeking the Lord. And he says, a hand touched me, which set me up upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. I'd like for the angel of the Lord to come by and say that, wouldn't you? I feel like sometimes he kind of does. I love those stories. You know what? We ought to have the feeling like God's kind of special to us. That's what I think. I think God's that special to everyone. He wants to be. He wants to breathe in us the breath of life, and then he wants to be in our lives. And folks, there's always been down through the ages these men that knew God. Here was Daniel. One, you know, and the angel said to him, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. You remember when the king decided that all his wise men and all those astrologers were going to die? You know why? Because they couldn't tell him what his dream was and what the dream meant. And he became very rash. All of y'all are going to die. He became aware right there that they were just men trying to be smart. It didn't have any meaning to Nebuchadnezzar. He wanted somebody that could tell him something that only God would know. Well, you know what? When they came around to get the men and all, Daniel said, hey, wait a minute. He begged a little time. And the Lord told him what his dream was. And he told him what it meant. You know what? There was something in Daniel that wasn't in the rest of those men. Now this morning, I just want to encourage us folks. Let's let the Lord live in our lives like that. And so Daniel, it says... Daniel answered, this is Daniel 2. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. And I want to tell you something. It saved Daniel's life and it saved all those other lives, didn't it? Because God is a God that reveals secrets. He's a God that's real. He's a God that is alive, and He lives in our soul, the song says. Oh, God wants to be that in our lives. There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And he went on to tell him what it was. And it was that way, wasn't it? One more little story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember them? Who were they? They were three men that feared God along with Daniel. And they had it settled that they were not going to serve other gods because they knew the real God. And so when Nebuchadnezzar sets up this 90-foot tall idol and tells them, you're all going to bow down to it or you're going to be thrown into this fire that I've built for you. They said, oh, king, we're not careful to answer you. We're not even careful to answer you. You know, God can deliver us if he wants to. And if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. You know why? Because they knew something in here. There was something God had worked in such a way that they knew God was real. Oh, this morning, we want to know that too, don't we? The Lord help us today that we will follow the conversation, the lives of those of the past. It's written for our sakes. Those things are written so that we'll know those things and so that we can have those things. Lord help us that we won't have anything short of it, but that we'll have all that God wants there to be. I want to just take notice of one little thing. You ever noticed Acts, how it ends up? It's talking about the things Paul was involved in. I'll just read that one last verse here. And listen to the way it ends. Now, most stories, most books of the Bible even, they have an ending. And you can tell it's the end. You know what the Acts is written? It says, And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. That's the end of Acts. It just goes on, doesn't it? This is not the end. Folks, it's for us too. It's gone on for 2,000 years almost. And you know what? We can have it too. And we can preach the same gospel. We can have the same life within our souls and within our lives. The Lord wants to do the same things for us that he did for Paul and all those others that are in the scriptures. So let's look to the Lord this morning and let's let him have his way in our life. I think we'll be pleasantly surprised. I'm very sure of that. So let's each one look to the Lord. You pray for me this morning.